Welcome to Today on Broadway for Monday, August 15th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
James, before we get started, want to send out a hearty congratulations to the current cast of the Les Miserables revival, the most recent revival, on celebrating 1,000 performances on Broadway. I did a quick bit of math, and math is not my strong suit, so this very well could be wrong, but I believe in total, previous performances, original, first revival, second revival, Les Mis has done 8,193 different performances on Broadway, which is a lot. So congratulations to all Les Misers everywhere around the world. Big deal.
You know, I'm not really a math guy myself, but 8193 is almost one third of 24601.
Thank you for that. I'm glad you were able to do that math in your head, because I was not.
All right. So before we run on to the first story of the day, we want to ask our listeners, if we mispronounce something, give us a call. Let us know how you would like us to pronounce it, because L'Enfantin, you say potato, I say potato.
Did you give them a phone number to call into?
855-987-8277, which is 855-98-STARS. But let's get on to the news. Early troubles for Joey Conniss's Broadway Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, James, a few months ago when the Barrington Stage Company announced its upcoming season, one of the shows that we immediately talked about on this show was Joey Conniss' new musical, Broadway Bounty Hunter, starring Annie Golden. Joey Conniss is one of the brightest stars in musical theater's next generation of writers, a Jonathan Larson and Ed Kleban Award winner. He has written a handful of musicals, including Blood Song of Love, the rock and roll spaghetti western, which was nominated for three drama desks in 2010, and Be More Chill, which had a very well-reviewed world premiere in New Jersey last summer. Conniss is, however, most likely known for writing the song Broadway Here I Come, which was featured heavily in season 2 of Smash. And even though it was supposed to be about, hey, I want to be on Broadway, the song's actually about committing suicide, but we just kind of gloss over that on Smash. Anyway, his newest show, Broadway Bounty Hunter, was inspired by the exploitation movies of the 1970s and follows a 60-ish year old down-on-her-luck actor named Annie, coincidentally played by Annie Golden, as she's asked to become a bounty hunter and capture a South American drug lord. Sounds interesting. Well, the show was originally supposed to begin previews on Friday, but an apparent electrical issue postponed the first performance to Saturday, when it did begin. But we also learned late last week that due to creative differences, original director Leah C. Gardner has parted ways with the production, and Barrington Stage artistic director Julianne Boyd has stepped in to replace her. Now, James, Conniss has been around for a long time. He's really big on the cabaret scene, the Joey Conniss and family performances. They have a big Christmas show every year at 54 Below. Joe is really good friends with Jennifer Ashley Tepper. He's been around forever. So it seems like this is the time for him to kind of break through and have a show that really makes an important, indelible mark on the theater community at large.
Yeah, I mean, I keep on waiting for this big breakthrough to happen, and I'm unsure of why it's happened. I'm a big fan of Joe's, and I think we've had him on this week on Broadway before.
Oh, really?
But a number of years ago, before Be More Chill. So hopefully that this will take off. I'm hoping that this is just a minor bump in the road for him, and that we'll see great things very soon.
Cool.
All right. Emmy-winning star of stage and screen, Fiva Schfinkel, has passed away at the age of 93.
Yeah, sad news for many fans yesterday as we learned that, as you said, the legendary performer Fiva Schfinkel passed away on Sunday morning at the age of 93. He began his career before he was even a teenager in the Yiddish theaters of New York, before joining the cast of Fiddler on the Roof on tour at the age of 43. On the road, he played the show's innkeeper, then the butcher, and eventually Tevye. And then, in 1965, he made his Broadway debut as a replacement Mordecai in the show. He then went on to play that role again, while also understudying Lazar Wolf in the 1981 revival. He understudied and eventually replaced as Mr. Mushnick in the original off-Broadway production of Little Shop of Horrors, before earning an Obie Award for Café Crown at the Public, which eventually transferred to Broadway. Fivish is also a regular fixture on the cabaret circuit with his Finkel's Follies, which ran off-Broadway in the early 90s, and he even performed at Barrington Stage, like we were just talking about, less than a month ago. James, well, that's a really impressive career, and he's known very much on stage in New York. I know of him from television, first in his Emmy-winning role of Douglas Wambaugh or Wambaugh on Picket Fences, and later as Harvey Lipschitz on Boston Public.
I loved Boston Public.
So did I. One of my favorite shows. You know, James, I always felt like when I saw that he passed away and I started looking for, you know, through articles and saw pictures, I just felt like every time I saw him on screen, I just smiled because, like, I felt like he was a pro and he was going to take care of me as an audience member. He's just that wry smile he has. And I watched some interviews while I was writing this, and just such a fun guy and such a loss for the entertainment community as a whole, but especially here or there in New York, where he was, a fairly regular fixture up until his 90s.
Absolutely. The thing that is shocking to me is that for me, he has always been here. He's an institution and part of Broadway, part of the entertainment, part of the Yiddish theater scene. Cooney Television, Cooney is a City University of New York TV, did a two-part series on him that I'm going to link to in the show notes. If you are a fan of Five-ish, or if you actually have never seen him before, please get over and check out this two-part series. It really is an amazing retrospective of a man and his career. It was just a few years ago that they did that. All right, let's move on to this week's schedule.
Yeah, we've got lots of really cool stuff happening around the theatrical world this week. First, on Tuesday, the new Tim Minchin musical Groundhog Day officially opens at the Old Vic in London. Starring Tony nominee Andy Carl as Pittsburgh weatherman Phil Connors, the show is based on the classic 1993 comedy, which starred Bill Murray and Andy McDowell. The show is directed by Matthew Warchus. And it's already announced plans to come to New York this spring, but with producer Scott Rudin bailing on the production over the summer, that transfer is no longer a certainty. We haven't heard anything official, but that seems to be up in the air a little bit. As it stands now, the show is scheduled to run in London through September 17th, and I am sure we will go through the reviews once they come out later. But James, have you heard any gossip about whether Groundhog Day is going to have to change its transfer plans, or if it's still on schedule for a spring opening now that Rudin's backed out?
Well, you know, I've not heard that they have locked in a theater yet. So until they lock in a theater, I don't see it as being a viable transfer. You know, we have a lot of stuff that is on the schedule for the next season already, from A Bronx Tale to Anastasia, Black to the Future, Burn This, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Dear Evan Hansen, Falsettos, Frankie Valli, which is a short run, Heisenberg, Hello Dolly, Holiday Inn, In Transit, Miss Saigon, Dangerous Liaisons, Jitney, Natasha Pierre. It goes on. And you know what? Groundhog Day is nowhere in this listing. So
yeah. Well, what's weird about that, though, is when they announced this, I mean, it was like early this year they announced this. They announced specific days, which I thought was really interesting. They announced previews were going to start on January 23rd with an opening night of March 9th. That's usually not something you do if you don't have a theater lined up. So it was almost like they might have, I mean, it seemed like they had one and they just weren't ready to announce it just in case something changed and they, you know, got jockeyed to another theater. But you don't usually announce dates unless you've got something pretty close to set in stone, right?
Yeah, there's a million ways to produce a show. Yeah, there's a lot of wishful thinking, and it could be exactly what you were saying, is that they did have something very locked in, and then with the change of the producers, it kind of went up in the air. So we've seen that. We've seen shows that have been in rehearsal, ready to go into previews, that have just stopped in its tracks.
Yep. RIP, nerds.
Yeah. You big nerd.
All right, so here's a show that we know is going to run because it is already in previews, and on Wednesday, playwright Leslie Headland's latest show, The Layover, officially opens at Second Stage. Directed by Tripp Coleman, the show is described as a psychological drama that is also darkly funny. It follows Shelley and Dex as they dare to pull back the curtain as their flights are delayed on a snowy Thanksgiving night, and they find themselves sitting next to each other. The show stars Adam Rothenberg and Annie Parise, and The Layover is scheduled to run run at Second Stage through September 18th. Now, James, having lived in Atlanta for 7 years, I got to see a lot of fantastic shows at the Alliance Theater, which won the 2007 Regional Theater Tony Award. And it looks like they have another one beginning performances this week that could have a life after Atlanta. Tony winner Casey Nicholaw directs the Broadway-bound comedy from librettist and lyricist Chad Begelin and composer Matthew Sklar, the writing team behind Elf the Musical, The Wedding Singer, and Halftime, or as I personally refer to it as the musical formerly known as Gotta Dance. Begelin also is a Tony nominee for Aladdin. The show stars Broadway faves Brooks Ashmanskas, Josh Lamon, Beth Level, and Christopher Sieber, and tells the story of Emma, played by Caitlin Kinnunen from Broadway's Spring Awakening and The Bridges of Madison County. Now, instead of allowing Emma to bring her girlfriend to prom, her small-town Indiana high school cancels their prom altogether, igniting a national controversy. Sensing a chance to correct an injustice and maybe get some good publicity along the way, a group of fading celebrities takes up the cause. Cultures clash, and the town erupts in chaos. The community's reputation, Emma's future, and the actors' careers all hang in the balance until a true hero emerges to save the day. The show will run in the ATL through September 25th, and then, who knows, it might make its way to Broadway after that. James, you know, Tuck Everlasting notwithstanding, which also coincidentally started at Atlanta's Alliance Theater, it's really tough to bet against Casey Nicholaw.
No, yeah, you're going to lose money if you bet against Casey Nicholaw. Absolutely. He's just...
He's great.
He brings him in.
I went back and looked just because I was like, I wonder if I forgot some things that didn't do all that well. No, he directed a play that didn't make a lasting impression on me. But I mean, you go back to Spamalot, which he choreographed, and then his first really directorial debut was Drowsy Chaperone. And then he's got Book of Mormon and Something Rotten and Aladdin. It's just like, dude's good. Yeah. If he's behind a show, I would bet on it being pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, so back to our schedule, back in New York. On Friday, the new play by Julia Cho will have its first preview at Playwrights Horizon, and that is a new play called Aubergine. Directed by Kate Wariski, the press notes for the show read like this. In Julia Cho's poignant and lyrical new play, the making of a perfect meal is an expression more precise than language, in the medium through which life gradually reveals itself. James, I have no idea what that show is going to be about, but it sounds interesting. I like food. I like to eat. So I'm looking forward to reading reviews when that show officially opens on September 12th. And the show is currently scheduled to play a limited run at Playwrights through October 2nd. Now, finally, in our trip around the theatrical globe, the Kenneth Branagh Theater Company's production of John Osborne's The Entertainer begins previews on Saturday. The original production and subsequent film starred Sir Laurence Olivier as a failing music hall performer named Archie Rice. This production, which will play London's Garrick Theatre, is directed by Rob Ashford, and Branagh stars as Rice in it. According to press notes, Osborne's modern classic conjures the seedy glamour of the old music halls of post-war Britain for an explosive examination of public masks and private torment. The show is scheduled to play through November 12th and will be broadcast worldwide later this fall, much like the company's Romeo and Juliet did last month.
All right. So after all that big run, you want to take a breath? You want to jump right into Mike Daisy's new show. Mike Daisy's offering Trump card performance rights for royalty-free. He's offering it as a download from his site. Anybody can perform it for free, right?
Absolutely. James, last week when I was seeing a movie about filthy, vulgar, hilarious talking food, you talked about Mike Davies' Joe's Pub performances of the Trump card. Well, on Friday, the monologuist has announced that he has decided to make the work available completely free to download, royalty-free to perform, and with permission to modify to anybody who wants to get it from his site. Daisy also did something pretty similar with The Agony and the Ecstasy of Steve Jobs, which chronicled the inhumane treatment of Chinese workers making Apple products. This latest piece, which just finished a successful engagement at Washington, D.C.'s Woolly Mammoth Theater, is described on Joe's Pub's website as taking on the reigning world heavyweight of self-mythologizing, the short-fingered vulgarian who captured a nation's heart through bullying, charm, one-syllable explosions, and occasionally telling the brutal truth, Donald J. Trump. In a Facebook post, Daisy said that he is making the script free and available soon in hopes that actors and theater companies will perform the work before Election Day. Now, James, I'm a firm believer in the ability of the arts and specifically theater to raise public consciousness and to change public opinion, but usually those changes are fairly glacial. Do you think that this piece will have any impact on people's opinion of Trump, other than maybe making members of the choir already hate him even more?
Yeah, I agree with you there that this is a, you know, it's hard enough to mount any production, even a one-person production, in just a couple of weeks before, you know, we have 90 some odd days to the election. And then getting an audience who may be Trump supporters to come see this type of a show, I'm not sure that this will be preaching to the choir, I think.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's a good effort nonetheless.
Absolutely. All right, Matt. So that's our Monday. Why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Some Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for starting your Monday off with us. And we will be back and talk with you tomorrow.